Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
This passing time under your wings, I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope and victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit.
We've been talking about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Wolves are predators. He said, I'm sending you out as sheep. Sheep are some of the dumbest animals. And he calls us sheep because we're ignorant spiritually. That's why we need to grow and understand things spiritually. But he says, I want you to be a wise sheep because there's wolves in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing means they have an agenda. They're saying they're your friend. They're showing up and acting like they like you, but they got motives and they got other agendas. And they're in your inner circle. They're right there connected to you. They're in your family. And that's why Paul says, see it to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And understand what the will of the Lord. Circumspectly, remember, what's that mean? Spect means to look and to study. Study your circum. Circum, what's your circle? Who's standing in your circle? Study and understand the people that are in your life. You better know who's in your life and who you're connected to, because it's those people that are either going to help you or keep you from the will of God in your life. I heard a teaching on perennials and annuals. Perennials are plants that come up every year, right? On their own. Annuals are ones you have to plant. And so winter is a time where it removes bugs and bacteria and things. And so we need seasons in our life. So winter is a time to get rid of some bugs in your life. Get the things out that God's trying to get out. There's winter seasons, right? Cold, and it seems like nothing's happening, but God's doing a work. And then the perennials are the people who remain in your life, who are committed. It's those people who are committed to you and in your life that are going to get you to the place that God has called you to. But if you don't understand that, you see, you're going to keep planting annuals and you're going to be all paying all attention to the annuals. And the season in your life isn't working, and the bugs, they're going to eat up your harvest. Because God is trying to get a harvest to you, more of what He's called you to and created you for. He wants to give that all to you. But if you don't understand the people around you, the bugs are going to eat it up. You got to understand who you're connected with, because they will make you or break you. You can't just hang around with anybody. That's just the way it is. They're wolves, sheep's clothing. But you know what? You'll love them, right? You can love them from a distance. Bye-bye, right? You don't have to be in their face and hanging out with them all the time. You can still love them. Remember, the enemy is never people. He always works through people, just like God always works through people. And so we got to understand that. We want to get wise concerning people. So last week, what we talked about out of Malachi, and it's really a word of where we're at now. We talked about trust. Malachi even says it, or Micah, I'm sorry. Micah says, do not trust a friend. So we really delved into the word trust. And remember, the word trust is the word in the Hebrew language, omen. And it's the substratum of faith. Faith is derived from the word omen. Faith isn't mentioned in the Old Testament. It's only mentioned in the New Testament. And we're to live by faith. It comes from the word omen. And the word omen means certainty, a firmness, a solidarity. It means assurance. It means to believe what He said He will do beyond the shadow of a doubt. It's going to happen. Betah is the other word. And this is an interesting word. It's the word for trust. It means well-being. It means security. It means you can place your confidence in somebody, and you can trust and lean on and know that they won't break it. I have betah. When you have betah, you just, You trust the people. You just glad to be around them. You just glad they came over. You just batah. You know, you just cross your legs and, you know, you just talking to what's ever in your heart. You just, oh man, I'm glad you're here. Batah. And you batah means you just give it all. When you have batah, you just give everything. You just tell everything before they ever say anything to you because you got batah. You trust them. You ever been around people like that? Isn't it refreshing to be around somebody you can, I don't think there's anything compares to that, to have somebody you can count on and trust. And the word batah also means uncertain. It means careless. It means unconcerned. I don't have to be concerned about what you say about me because I know you're not going to take it and try to destroy me with it and whisper in the corner in groups and try to pull me down and bring up everything that I've shared with you because I can be careless around you because I batah. And when you have that, man, that's liberating. I like to eat with those folks. You feel like you're having a party when you're around them all the time because it just feels so good. You don't have to watch every word, you know, make sure you got everything right. You know what I mean? Trust. You know, I told you that you don't need to trust your pastor, but you need to trust God that he will keep your pastor. See that? And I don't trust you that you'll keep God, but I trust God that he will keep you. And so we want to trust God for our relationships, our marriage, our family, our finances, work, everything. Trust him. You can count on him. All right. We are going to go to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All right. Now look at this. Remember we talked about the word blessed? And the word blessed is the Greek word eulogio. And eulogio means is where you get the word eulogy. When you go to somebody's funeral, the pastor or whoever's doing the funeral is doing the eulogy. And that means to speak well of and to find the good in a person. So that's what we're supposed to do about those people who persecute us. We're to find the good in them and talk about it. We're not to bring up the negative things they're doing to us. Now, this word blessed is just huge. It means eulogy. It also means empowered to prosper. So you're empowered to prosper when you begin to do this. And you bless people who are talking about you and persecuting you. You know who Jesus is talking to here? Jewish people. He's talking to you and I, but in this time frame, he's talking to the Jews. And the Jewish people understood when he said, bless those who persecute you. Bless them. The people understood this language because they understood the Psalms because they had this Jewish heritage and the language. Jesus was speaking the language and he said, bless them. The first 10 years of the church, it was Jewish people. The Gentiles didn't enter in until Acts chapter 10. So in the first decade, it was Jewish people. So that's why Jesus was saying it this way. And when we understand this, it changes things. So we have to look at the Jewish heritage. We have to look at the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for the word blessed is the word barak. So that's what Jesus was telling the people. Barak, the people who persecute you and despitefully use you. Barak them. And they understood. We have to understand this. Barak, you know what barak means? It means blessed. In Hebrew, Barak means to bless, to praise. It means to kneel and bow in submission of the heart. It's not so much an outward posture as much as it is an inward posture. And when you bless people who are coming against you, God looks at the heart, the Bible says. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You are saying, I'm under your authority, God, and I am in your will towards this person. Regardless how he's treating me. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And they understood it. In Psalms 47, verse 7, it says that we're to understand praise with understanding. A lot of us don't understand. So we respond in the wrong way. And when you take matters in your own hands, guess what? You're trying to be God. You know, that person at work, just think about him, just say Barak. That relative or maybe that person up in your house, Barak. But you got to mean it. See, you got to mean it. That's the key. See, and you know what? God sees if you mean it, if your heart is truly in submission. You know, it's not, bless them, Lord. Yeah. No. You see, that's not what it is. It's, bless them, Lord. And really mean it. Really mean it. God, you've showed me something about this person, their childhood, their life, and you've revealed to me that they are going through all kinds of struggles. And that's why they're responding towards me the way they are. And I can really bless them. That's God. Now the power of God is in you and working through you. And now you are in a position for God to bless you. Now, he says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He says, get excited when folks are doing this to you. Rejoice. He says, get excited when they treat you like that. Now, here's the word for rejoice. It's Hebrew now, because he's speaking to some Jewish folks, right? Zamar. And this is what zamar means. It means to praise. It means to make music. It means to celebrate. It means to rejoice. To make music. To sing. When you can do that and people are coming against you and you can still have a song in your heart, that's power. That is power. Now, go with me to Psalms 71 real quick. And we're going to look at verse 23. My lips shall greatly zamar, rejoice, when I zamar to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. You see, a soul that's been redeemed is a soul that's happy, that sings. We shouldn't do anything but sing when we know our soul has been redeemed. Our soul is happy. When we're Barak, we're blessed. That's why David said this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Barak. In Psalms 103, he says, bless the Lord, Barak the Lord, oh my soul. He's talking to his soul. He's saying, Barak, my soul, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our lives from destruction, and who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouths with good things so that our strength will be renewed like an eagle's. Barak. You see, that's what takes place when you Barak and all hell is coming against you. Now the benefits of God are being released into your life. He's forgiving all your iniquities. He's healing all your diseases. He's redeeming your life from destruction. The benefits of God are being released. He's crowning you with loving kindness. That word crown means authority. Now I have authority to love you regardless of how you're treating me. And that's what the persecution, that's what it comes for, is to get the love out of your heart so you don't respond in love. And so the enemy can begin to control your life. But when you Barak, now I have authority. I'm in submission to God. I'm under God. You see, my heart is submitted to God and what he's telling me, not what this person is saying about me or what they're conjuring up against me. Now I'm under his authority and God is in charge. And I can still walk in love. And my strength is renewed, and everything's going to be all right. That is some good stuff. You need you some Barak for what's coming, and some Zamar. Sing. Sing when they come against you. Begin to praise the Lord. Be exceedingly glad. You know why? Because folks, listen to me. When you don't understand this, you get hurt. The persecutions, the things that they say about you come around, you get hurt by it. And you know what? When you're hurt, you know that's when everybody's just so glad to see you. When you're hurt, they're just glad you came over. When you're hurt, you're just always hurt. They just want you around. Is that how it is? Is it? I don't like to be around them folks. Always hurt. You know people don't want to be around you when you're hurt all the time. You're not affecting anything. But the hurt comes to strengthen you. When you understand it, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I've been hurt. No, I have. I've been hurt. I've been hurt as a pastor probably more than any time, all the years of my life. I've been pastoring for 10 years, and I'm talking some hurt. Stuff comes like, where did this come from? People will come at you and say things to you like, you understand what I'm saying. But when you understand what I'm saying, Zamar, and you begin to sing, that's power. That is power. It just don't have the power to hurt you. But you got to learn this. This is a learned thing. This doesn't happen overnight. And every one of us got to go through this. Every one of us are going to be hurt. Don't think you're not going to go through anything and get what God has for you, because there's going to be some stuff that hurts. But you know what? When you begin to praise God, I'm going to tell you what, it protects you. It talks about in Isaiah 42, verse 3, it talks about smoking flax he will not quench. You know what smoking flax is? You know what he's talking about? You know, you ever blow out a candle and it just fills the room with this nastiness? You just can't wait to get away from it? In other words, he's talking about people. He's using that as an analogy towards people. There's people you just can't stand to be around and you want to get away from. But he's saying he'll never reject them and he'll never mistreat them. And he wants you to be like that. It says in Isaiah 42:3, a bruised reed he will not break. Some of you have been hurt and bruised. And what's he talking about there? When Isaiah prophesied that, children would take reeds from alongside the river, and they would poke holes in these reeds, and they would make flutes that made beautiful music. But some of these flutes would have a weak spot in it where it was bruised, and it would throw it off and throw it out of tune and out of harmony. And they would break those things, and they would throw them away. You see, some of you have lost your song. You're out of tune with life. You're out of tune with your family. You're out of tune with people. You just feel like you're going backward. But God will restore the song in your heart. He says, I will never disregard you. I will restore the song in your heart. That's what he'll do. No matter what, no matter how much you've been hurt, he will restore it. When that takes place and you hold on, then you begin to sing. You begin to zamar. And in Zephaniah 3:17, it says that God sings over you, zamar over you. That God is rejoicing over you, zamar over you. And when God is singing over you and you begin to sing back and you got this, you're just giving God praise no matter what's going on, he's singing blessing over you. He's singing acceptance over you. He's singing love over you. He's singing peace over you. And all that is happening in your life because you two are making melody together. That's the power of it. But you see, when you don't understand it, sing. I ain't going to sing. Well, sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But it doesn't matter what it sounds like. Just do it. You see, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for you to do what he says. And when you will do what he says, he will do what he says in your life. But when you try to take matters in your own hands, you're trying to be God. You're trying to be God, and you're not allowing him to be God. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3,
verse 12.
Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be loved by everybody. Is that what it says? It says what? If you desire to be like Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. What's persecution mean? Pursue to execute. Something is pursuing you to execute. Execute what? The life out of you. The love out of you. That's what it's all designed for. But when you understand it, it can't have its work in your life. Because I'm Barak. I'm going to Barak. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to bless those folks. I'm going to sing. You see this? Oh. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship. There's that word endure. I mean, remember, sometimes we just have to outlast some things. We have to endure hardship. Hardship. What's hardship? Struggles, trouble, difficulty. And when we endure it, and we praise God, and we bless people, we're empowered. While we're enduring it. He's not saying endure while you're having an affair. You understand what I said? He's not saying endure because you want to do your own little thing with your boyfriend and girlfriend. No. See, that's what some people say. Well, that's what he's talking about. I know that I'm going through what I'm going through. Yeah, well, no, you're bringing that on yourself. He's saying endure when you do the right thing. When you're doing everything right. And you have got your prayer life, you are tithing, you are in the will of God. He's saying you're going to have to endure hardship. You're going to have to endure some struggles, some difficulty and trouble for doing what's right. Did you get that? He's not saying endure because you're just doing what you want to do, because that'll kick your backside without God even being involved. Remember, young ladies, you got a 6'3" pastor with a size 13-foot shoe. Tell him, back off, bubba. Don't let them touch you. Did you get that? That's important. There's all kinds of stuff going on right now. We got to wake up and be wise to who's coming in our life, who's connecting with us. All right, go with me to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 17. Now let's look at verse 16 too. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure. There's that word endure. Endure only for a time. For afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Why does the persecution and tribulation come? For the word's sake. Remember, he wants to blind you of your vision. Your vision comes from within you. It's not out here. Your vision comes from inside of you. And that's where the enemy works. The word vision also means revelation. Remember what the word revelation means? A prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So in other words, you're hearing something that's uncovering something in my life that's mine and that's for me. In other words, it's a picture of a better tomorrow. And that's why the enemy comes to take that word out of you so you don't have that picture in your heart. So you can't see it, to blind you of it, because we don't want to endure. But if we will endure, it will come to pass. It will come to pass in our life. What's tribulation? Tribulation is trouble, right? It's taken from the word tribulum. Remember, it's a farming instrument that they use. And it was made out of oak, and it was real pointed, and they scraped it across the wheat to separate the wheat and the tares. So that's what God is doing. He's got a tribulum. He allows tribulations. He allows trouble in your life to bring out the good fruit, to get the wheat, to get the good fruit out of your life and get rid of the bad stuff. And that's why trouble comes. See, when we understand this, we can praise God. We can barak. We can zamar. Are you with me? In the midst of it. And it says, immediately they stumble. The word stumble is the word offended. So people get hurt when they don't understand. You see, when you don't endure and you don't receive that word and you don't hold on to it, you end up getting hurt. When we get the word and we keep praising and zamar and barak and blessing, we receive it and we don't get hurt. Because the persecution comes to take the love of God out of your heart towards others and towards yourself and to rob you of your future. That's why you got to be wise. John 15 with me. Go over there with me real quick. John 15 and verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you. So if we're to remember, we're to what? Remember. Can't forget it. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. You see, if you endure and you get that word and you barak and you zamar, you're going to keep his word and other people are going to keep your word. You are going to have authority and power in other people's lives because you're going through something God's way. You need your children to listen to you. You need people to listen to you. We all do. And if we're willing to get this and hold on to it and endure, you're going to have weight in other people's lives. When that mentor of mine speaks, man, I get busy because he has some weight, because I know he's been through something. When he says something, it's like, whoa, dude, it's like it's in me, you know? It's like, man, I know that's true. Now, go with me to Romans 8 real quick. We're going to look at verse 35 real quick. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, trouble, right? When things are being sifted in our life? No. Or distress? Nope. Persecution? See, persecution, why does persecution come? To separate you from the love of Christ. Famine? You can say crisis. Crisis. That's what the word translated famine also is, crisis. Or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all what things? All the persecutions, all the trouble, all the distress. We are what? More than conquerors, because we are barak. We are Zamar. We are blessing people. We are continuing to sing. No matter what we're going through, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's power. That's how you're a conqueror. So if you don't feel like you're a conqueror this morning, what have you been doing? Begin to bless people. Begin to bless the Lord, and you'll be a conqueror. You're overcoming. We are called overcomers over and over and over. What do we ought to got to overcome? The persecutions, the distress, the tribulations, all the stuff that's going on out there. And as you're an overcomer, you know what? People are going to come up to you and want to know what you have. That's what's coming. You think this church is growing now? You wait. Because I'm telling you what, folks, we're getting ready for stuff ahead. And when you operate in this, you're coming from another place. You're marching to the beat of another drum. I'm a soldier. I'm enduring hardship. All right. 12:14, real quick. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse. Bless, Barak. Bless those who persecute you. Doesn't that change it? In other words, I'm submitted to you. My heart is submitted to you, Lord. I'm bowing before you. I'm going to bless these people who are coming at me. That is power right there. And it says, bless and don't curse. And that means don't cuss too. Don't curse. You know what? You either bless people or you curse them with the words that you say. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians real quick. Chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your what? Persecutions and tribulations, trouble, and that you endure. Remember, it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. Faith and in all your persecutions. So if we're exercising faith and patience and blessing God and we're praising God, now look what's going to happen. Which is manifest, verse 5, manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Now you are in right relationship with God. Now look at this. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Now you are advancing the kingdom of God. The kingdom is where the king rules. He is ruling in your life because you're doing what God says and not what everybody else says. And you're not taking matters in your own hand. You're trusting God. Now, for which you also suffer. That just means you're going to go through things and your flesh don't like it. Verse 6. Since it is a what? Righteous thing. With who? With God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Let me tell you something. When people are coming at you and they're whispering in the corner and they're trying to find out everything wrong about you to pull you down, but you're Barak. You're Zamar. You're blessing them. God's hand is working in your life. The power of God is in your life. God is going to get those folks. I have seen it with my eyes. I have tasted this. I have seen people messing with me. And you know, you don't want stuff to happen to them, but God gets involved. And it will kick your backside. You don't mess with his people. This is a reality. But you see, if you're trying to do your own thing, he can't. If you're trying to retaliate, and you're trying to come up, and you're trying to, God's hands are tied. He's like this. I can't help you. You're taking over. Are you getting anything this morning? Aren't you glad you're here? We're getting wise. See? We're getting wise to what's going on. And folks, things are going to start working and connecting the dots because we're getting wise. Oh, praise the Father.
Been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Row Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellrowchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.